and to everyone in their respective places. I thank God for this opportunity to speak before you. Amen. To share a word with you on today. Amen. Our scripture reading is coming from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, first chapter. Man, we're glad to see Brother Pitt, man, make his presence. And man, I was looking over, I didn't see him. But it's good to look over and see him now. Amen. First chapter, the 7th verse. I'm reading from the King James Version. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Amen. Begin reading. For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. To the reading, here's of God's word. Amen. 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 A sound mind is a very important, is very important living in the Christian, living the Christian life. Right thinking leads to correct living. Amen. Amen. So what I want to talk about this morning is fear. Amen. I don't think anyone would argue that there is a real fear factor in this day and age we are living in. We got threats of terrorism, threats of wars, man-made threats, natural threats, threats of financial ruin, and all sorts of other threats. We see threats of violence all around us in the news, and, you know, the news media can really manipulate our fear. Amen. Factor as well. Remember several years ago, I remember when we were renovating this building, I remember the guys that was working, they was talking about the swine flu. I mean, y'all remember that? Everybody was afraid of that. Those threats causes fear. I mean, fear can hinder a person and stop them from doing the things that they want to do or need to do. I mean, fear of what people may say. What matters is what God says about us, and he calls us kings and priests, a holy nation, sons and daughters of the living God. We live with the fear of death, and we shouldn't, because in Revelations, you know, it talks about our Lord has the keys of death. Amen. You can look at Revelations chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So stop worrying about what man can do and be concerned with what God can do. We fear of not meeting other standards. It's another fear. Paul said to Timothy, God did not give us the spirit of fear. Amen. In other words, being a coward. That's not what God has given us. So what is a coward? According to Webster Dictionary, one who shows fear in the face of danger or pain, lack of courage or determination. In other words, a chicken. Amen. Just to sum it up, because we have children in here. Chicken, if you don't know what coward is. Who is scared to act or speak even when he or she is right. A person that would allow evil to have its way. what others may say or what others may do or how others may react. Or a coward is someone that, somebody that just allows people to just say what they want to say and not speak up for what God is saying. So don't allow fear to get in the way of you speaking the truth. Don't allow fear to get in the way of speaking up when you are right. Don't allow fear to get in the way of being a witness for Christ. Now, I said all of that. If we are embarrassed of Jesus and his truth, he promised to be ashamed of us. You don't believe it? Look it up in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me," that means Jesus, "and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So he said he'd be ashamed of you too. Y'all know how it is. Sometimes you don't want to talk about the Lord. You don't want to talk about Jesus. You don't want to mention his name. You don't want to give him the rightful credit that he is due. You don't want to speak up and tell people about him. The Lord said, if you don't want to say my name, you don't want to mention me, then I won't mention you. You don't want to have nothing to do with me, I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. And Luke 12 and 9, it says, "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." That's tough, right? But you're doing it to him. There's a thing that says we reap what we sow. Revelations chapter 21, 7 and 8. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my sons." In verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, detestable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There is a place for those who don't want to acknowledge Christ. It's just that simple. As Christians, we cannot ignore parts of God's word because they are unpopular or cause division. Our commission is to proclaim Christ and all he stands for. This is what the church's presence in the world is all about. We cannot proclaim the truth of God loving while ignoring what God hates. And God hates sin. Period. God's love pours out the remedy for sin and holds mankind in bondage. It is found in his unmerited grace, the gift of salvation. For this reason, the whole gospel must be preached, as demonstrated by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jews first and also the Greek." He let it be known, I ain't ashamed. You have to make this confession yourself. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will try to shun you and try to say that there is no God, there is no Jesus. But you have to say, I'm not ashamed of what I stand for. Paul wrote in connection to the gospel, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodly and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but became futile in their thoughts. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Romans chapter 1, start at verse 18 and make your way through there. You'll understand what is being said. Followers of Jesus Christ, especially pastors and church leaders, have a responsibility to speak the truth of the scriptures, calling sin what it is, and acknowledge that it has always reigned in the hearts of human race. It is not any worse today than it was in the beginning. After all, sin brought about the great fall and then the great flood because the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It is not just a debate. Listen to what I'm saying. It is not just a debate about abortion or homosexuality. All sin is immorality, okay? And all immorality is evil. In America, it is not just a basic misunderstanding of the word of God. It is the absence of God's complete word. It's not a misunderstanding. It is total absence of God's word. We are soldiers in God's army, and we cannot stand down on biblical issues out of fear of being labeled a judge. People make judgments every day. The world system passes judgment, okay, accepted by governments and citizens. But the world considers Christians' judgment to be biased, judgmental, and intolerant. Christians have only one standard which to base judgment. It is called the Bible. Amen? One standard. Without its instructions and authority, we cannot possibly know how to live. So we are told to judge with righteous judgment. Amen? John 7:24. It does not matter how mankind defines sin. The word of God has already laid it out. And it is unchangeable. Period. Why? Because God never changes. Jesus never changes. Man continuously changes. Each generation in the United States is becoming more and more wicked. America has stopped obeying the Ten Commandments. Of all of God's commandments, only stealing and murder are against the law in America. The rest of the eight, you can do it with no problem. Only stealing and murder is against the law in America. Now, I'm not a teacher per se, as in school, but that's a fail. That's failing. Amen. That's failing. That's bad. I mean, that is really bad. So, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. I mean, there's people, we watch sports or we hear the songs that, you know, you hear the song that God bless America in these sports arenas. They be singing that. See, you want God to bless America, but you don't want to obey the Ten Commandments. God's hand of blessing has departed. Why should God bless our selfishness, our stubborn pride, our perversion of what it means to do right? People these days are sinfully saying that abortion, adultery, greed, covetousness, shady advertisement, witchcraft, and false religions are acceptable to God. None of these sinful things are acceptable with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing, none of that is acceptable to God. It may seem like God doesn't care, but he's still on his throne. watching over the affairs of mankind. God does care more than we could ever know. It is humanity that has forgotten God. Remember, it was the Supreme Court that banned the Word of God from the American classrooms. No one has a right to blame God for any of this mess that's going on. Nobody can blame God for any of this mess. As people of God, he has not given us the right, the spirit of fear. Fear is murder. Now you may say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? People will die around you while you refuse to lift a finger to try to save them. Even the world's legal system has imprisoned men and women for murdering others through their neglect. Can you imagine Jesus saying to the disciples in the upper room on the last night? Remember, I'm saying imagine. I want y'all to understand that. You know, Pastor said. No, imagine. In other words, use your thinking. My mother used to say, put your thinking cap on. Can you imagine Jesus saying to the disciples in the upper room on the last night, I will send you a spirit of fear, and he will make you afraid to pursue my work. Thanks to him, none of you would have the courage to testify for me. Well. Imagine if Jesus had said that. He didn't. That's not what happened. Acts chapter 1 and 8. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. Last I know, when you got some power, you can work with it. Amen? When you got some power, boy, you can work with it. If something doesn't have power, it ain't no good. Luke chapter 22:31. Let me say this. Satan acts to sift Peter. Satan never attacks without fear being involved. That's why Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail him. Peter failed, but even in his human failure and humiliation, he still hung on to his faith. After Jesus' death, Peter was still waiting around, thank God for that, with the other disciples to see what would happen. Amen? That's why people say, you know, hang on just a little while longer until your change come. Amen? I'm going to run on to see what the end is going to look like. Amen? That's what Peter did. Peter hung on just a little while longer just to see what would happen. Satan would have us to fear that if we make a mistake, there is no hope left for us. Amen? Peter displayed fear when people began to recognize him as being one of Jesus' disciples. Peter became emotional and did not use self-control with his words. You know what he needed? He needed power, love, and of a sound mind. That's what he needed. So Acts chapter 1, and that's why they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, he arrives and fills them all. Now, the new Peter, with the power, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached his first sermon, and he did not allow fear to stop him. Peter had previously declared that he would not be afraid, but he learned that speech was not enough. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit inside of him to do what he needed to do. Because just speaking to people ain't going to work. You need something else on the inside of you that's going to give you the power to stand before people. In Judges, God was building an army. So this is why God called on Gideon. God was building an army for Gideon that will win the war. The first to be eliminated with all those fearful and trembling. In other words, it was two-thirds of all those men. Two-thirds. Joshua and Caleb. The attitude of the fearful and the attitude of the faithful is on display here. The fearful will not inherit, but the faithful will inherit. If you scared, you ain't going nowhere. But if you got some confidence inside of you, some courage on the inside of you, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who's in your way. I would say to you, if the Lord is on my side and the bear is after me, you better help the bear. Because I'm going to win this. Because the Lord is with me. I don't need any help. The bear is the one that needs the help. For all of those who ever felt like giving up, you're not alone. If we are honest with ourselves, we'll say it too. So instead of being fearful and giving up, it's time for us to, guess what? Get fired up. There's something we need to understand. There is something new that is ahead of you. But we don't stay long enough to find out what it is. Because we always want to give up. Man, that's the easiest thing to do is to just say, I quit. I give up. I ain't doing this no more. But man, for somebody to stay in it, for somebody to see what the end is going to look like, that's somebody that's got some strong faith. So in verse 24, it talks about, but my servant, Caleb. See, I like to put my name there. My servant, Ronnie. Because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. In other words, God is saying, I'm getting ready to bless you like you've never been blessed before. Why? Because you stay with me. Despite of what you're looking at. Yeah, I saw giants over there, but I knew that who was on my side. I understand that it doesn't look the way you want it to look. It's never going to look that way. But guess what? When we first got this building, it didn't look like a church. It looked like the YMCA. Amen. It had a swimming pool, but I saw it in a different perspective. I didn't see a swimming pool. I saw a house of God. It depends on how you look at your situation. You got to see it from the spiritual, not looking at it in the natural. In the natural, yeah, that's what it is, but in the spiritual, it can be different. That's why at 85 years old, Caleb was asking for a mountain that had giants occupying it. And he had no fear of conquering the mountain or the giants. He said, give me this mountain. Let me tell you something. When you got courage, it confronts. It does not run or make excuses. Courage does not hide. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. In other words, I'm saying when you get the Holy Spirit, what you wouldn't say, but when that Spirit come on you, oh, it's coming out of you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You say, well, if it hasn't happened to you yet, then your Spirit hasn't descended upon you. It's just that simple. Because I'm going to tell you this. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it will give you boldness. Power. Remember, they were hiding. And y'all understand? The disciples were hiding in fear of their lives. But when the Spirit came in rushing like a mighty wind and it grabbed hold to them, what did it do? It gave them power. They weren't afraid no more. Watch this. Nehemiah. You read it in chapter 6 if you want something to study. Nehemiah was building the wall, doing what God had told him to do. Isn't that a blessing? You caught doing what the Lord tells you to do. When you do what God tells you to do, I feel sorry for somebody to come and mess with you. They in trouble. I mean, come on, do you really want to die today? I mean, come on now. Do you really want to die today? I would advise you to leave that person alone when they doing God's work. This is nothing to be playing with. But the enemy continuously messing with him, tried to stop him. Read it. You know, you want something to read. Nehemiah did not stop his work. Kept doing what God had told him to do. Did not stop to put out the enemy's fire. Why? God fights his battles. Four times the enemies tried to do the same thing. Nehemiah stood his ground. That's what God wants. He wants somebody to stand. Just stand your ground. Stand your ground. Why should such a man as I flee? Nehemiah knew who he was and who was with him. Their enemies ended up being afraid of them. So you just got to make a stand. That's like, I'm going to say this to you. Even when these kids, parents, they being bullied on the school, you got to tell them, hey, take a stand. Fight back. Make a stand. Because if they keep running from that bully's going to keep chasing them. But you got to tell them, take a stand. Yeah, I got knocked down. Yeah, I got beat up. Yeah, I had this eye kind of slightly closed by fighting. But you know what? I didn't stop. I didn't run. You have to make a stand. See, and that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They didn't bow down in fear. What happens? They confronted the situation and ended up being promoted. Amen? Ended up being promoted. Sometimes we are being tested just to see who we are. See what's inside of you. Daniel refused to bow in fear concerning the decree given that no person could bow to any god except the king. Daniel kept right on doing what God told him to do, and the devil plan fizzled. God is waiting. Listen to this very carefully. God is waiting to be good to those who are expecting him to be good to them. Amen. That's why I had to go slow with that. Y'all need to understand this. God is waiting to be good to those who are expecting him to be good to them. In regards to the spirit of fear, Satan is waiting to bring bad things to those who are expecting bad things to happen. In other words, fear is expecting. Just like faith is expecting. Y'all follow me? So I had to tiptoe through that. Y'all need to understand that. What do you mean, Pastor? What are you saying? Well, we say faith is expecting. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear is expecting. As well, if you are always walking around fearful, you're expecting this to happen, you're creating the atmosphere. Your environment is creating this atmosphere for that to happen. Let me say, they say that a dog could tell if you are fearful of him. If that is true, and if that dog can sense that, don't you know that the atmosphere senses? Amen. I mean, you can't just be walking around like that, you know. I mean, you got to walk like you're confident about yourself. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when I interview people, when they walk away, I watch to see if they're walking with confidence. Because I want to hire somebody with confidence. I don't want to hire somebody that's going to, I guess, I got it, I don't know. I want somebody to go and say, yeah, I did very good, did very well, to an extent. Okay? Now, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Power to come against any tactic or fear. The Bible says that love conquers all. God is love. Perfect love drives out fear. Sound mind, peaceful, even in the midst of tough circumstances. There is a healthy fear of God, which is reverence for God and everything that pertains to Him. Don't get it twisted. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 11, chapter 28, don't fear those who can only kill the body and not the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to kill both soul and body. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There are promises for those who have this type of reverence towards God. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, you see, His mercy is upon them that fear Him from generation to generation. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So in other words, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that there is some good fear. But that's pertaining to God. Amen? That's why I'm not going to work this hard to please man and then go to hell. It makes no sense. I'm going to please God. And this is why I don't want you to live in fear of what you're hearing, what's going on in the world. Because keep in mind, if you are God's child and you accepted Him as your personal Savior, know that God is watching over the affairs of man, and God will not allow something to happen to you. And if it does happen, God knows that you are prepared to handle it. It makes a difference. When we are given assignments at work, my boss knows which one of us can handle the assignment. Y'all understand what I'm saying? My boss knows that if this person over here gets this assignment, this person is a slacker. It's not going to get done. But my boss knows that if I hand this off to Ronnie, Ronnie's going to look at it, do what needs to be done, and give it back to me. He's not going to slack off on the work. So what I'm saying is that God knows us individually. If we serve a God that knows the number of hairs that are on our head, don't you know He knows all about you? That's a lot of information. Think about it. He knows the number of hairs on each one of our heads. I'm not just talking about us that's in this room. That's just a lot for one person, but we're talking about the entire world. So in other words, what I'm saying is that I don't care what you are going through right now. You are destined to win. You know, oftentimes people foolishly make haste decision based upon what ifs. Worry over the future. Instead, we are taught in the Word of God to always trust upon the Lord. We may not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds our future. Amen? So I don't know. In other words, I'm saying I don't know what battle you are facing right now. I don't know what enemy might be raised up against you right now. I don't know what type of devil that is trying to destroy your life. All I want you to understand is that you are more than conquerors. And you have to believe that. If you don't believe that for yourself, let me tell you something. You fighting your own losing battle. You have to know that once you give it to God, it's a wrap. I told y'all once before, my kids, they come to me and they hand me something. They know that when they put it in my hands, they know that it's going to be fixed. Let me tell you something. They even do a little praise dance on the side because they know that it's in my hands and they know that I'm working on it. They know that I'm fixing it. If they can have this visual as a child, how much more are we being children of God? I'm going to tell you something. They say, Daddy, this ain't working. I'll take it and I'll look at it. I'll examine it and I'll fix it.
Why? Because that's made by man. So man should be able to fix that, right? So, you know, I fix that and put it all together, and by the, they over here praise dancing. I mean, literally, they go into town. And then when I give it to them, they say, oh, thanks, Daddy, you did it. They give me what I want to receive. So when God does something for us, and when God delivers it to us, gives it back to us, we ought to say, thank you, Lord. It's just that simple. You know, I'm going to say this. Men in the world determine victory by what's going on around them or not going on around them. They determine victory by the absence of external conflict. Victory is not external. Victory is internal. Amen? I mean, it's not external. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all have to understand something. You have to have something on the inside of you. So what is that I'm keep saying inside of you? You got to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. God determines victory by what's going on inside of us. Victory is, first of all, an attitude. You got to have an attitude. In other words, you got to have the attitude, the right mindset. In other words, an attitude of faith. An attitude from the dictionary means a position assumed for a specific purpose. A mental position with regards to a fact or a state. You got to get your mind conditioned to say, hey, I'm telling you, it ain't going to happen to me. This got to be your attitude to say, I hear what's going on out there, but it ain't coming my way. You got to speak to that devil. You got to speak to your situation. That's why when you're in a house, don't you ain't crazy. Keep this in mind. I done already diagnosed you're not crazy. You just speaking what God has said. When something is in your house that shouldn't be in your house, you got to open up them doors and say, get out. When we get God's word in our hearts, it produces an attitude where if you were known as a quiet individual who don't say much, okay, let the word of God get inside of this person. I guarantee you he's going to have a mouthful to say. Why? Because the Spirit of God is inside of this person now. They, in other words, have a position assumed for a specific purpose and a mental position with regard to a fact or a state. In other words, I'm going to tell you about the Lord. All right. See, we got to understand, assume the position. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We need to say this to ourselves. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We got to say to ourselves, you got to quote scriptures to yourself. In other words, you got to let it marinate. You got to get it inside of you. You have to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You got to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. You got to have an attitude. Get an attitude. There ain't nothing wrong with getting an attitude as long as it's for the right purpose. Amen? Get an attitude for the right purpose. See, I just believe that if you get the right attitude, in other words, an attitude adjustment right now, victory begins with the decision. The decision to believe that God told the truth, who hath believed our report, and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed. Wow. Like the widow woman with her little pot of oil, she went in and shut the door. So you have to shut the door to everything that contradicts the word of God. You have to shut yourself into faith and shut out everything else. Doubt, fear, confusion, feelings, pain, sometimes friends and sometimes family. You got to shut people out. Victory demands determination. You got to have determination. Victory is not a one-time experience. Victory is a way of life. It is a spirit life that is born in us. Victory is a spirit of perseverance. Victory is a spirit that stands at the door and continues to knock, even though the answer is no. Victory is a spirit that hears the circumstances, the criticisms, but it keeps on pressing. Victory is not a life without problem. Victory is a life that faces with a problem, a promise. We have to understand for every problem, there is a promise. Victory is the faith that clings to the promise until the problem is defeated. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, you hear about David. David arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. His hand clave unto the sword. The Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him. Listen to this. Here is a man, David, who became one with his sword. His hand clave unto his sword. That means his hand became welded to his sword. He held on to the promise until the problem was defeated. Your victory and mine is in becoming one with the word of God. Victory is not based upon people. Sometimes people actually stand in the way of victory. As in the case of Jairus' daughter, Jesus put everyone out except Peter, James, and John. Put everybody out. Sometimes y'all got to understand, some folks got to leave. They got to get out because, you know, let me tell you something. You need to understand this. The old saying is there is strength in numbers. That sounds good, right? That is only true to a certain extent. That's if the numbers are in faith and the numbers are anointed and if the numbers believe the promise. God does not recognize numbers. He recognizes faith. He recognizes faith. That's what you need to understand. Victory is not never going through a trial. Victory is going through a trial. 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Victory is in how you go through the trial. This is how victory goes through a trial. Victory goes through a trial knowing that it is working for you. Amen? We got to believe that. If you don't believe that, then you're already defeating yourself. As I get ready to wind up, I don't care what you're facing today. Faith has fixed the fight. Faith has never lost a battle. From Genesis to Revelation, true Bible-believing faith has never lost a battle. But you say, you don't know, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. Notice what I'm saying. He said, you don't know, Pastor, what I'm going through. I'm going through hell. You said, I'm going through. Then I'm going to say to you, keep saying it again because you need to hear yourself because you're saying you're going through. You didn't say that you're getting stuck. You didn't say that you was in it. You said that I'm going through. So keep saying it to yourself that I'm going through. I'm not staying here. So I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what he throws your way. You need to say to yourself, prophesy to yourself that I am going through. David said, yea, though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It may look bad right now, but the fight, you need to know, as you heard before from many preachers, it is fixed. Because God has already won the battle. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The truth about Jesus doesn't change with every shift of the breeze. Amen? Why? Because it is based on the faithfulness of God's promise that are always affirmed and fulfilled in Jesus. We need to understand. See, this is what, you know, there no matter how hard I preach, no matter how hard I come up here and I talk, there's some people that's not going to say amen. Amen. I don't care what I say or what I do, but see, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says that God does not change. So we who are believers can take our stand with security. We say amen to God's message, knowing that it won't change us. Amen. It won't change on us. We say amen is not in empty words. See, some people won't say amen. Amen says, this is what amen says. Amen says, we believe that there is truth. Amen. God's word is truth, that it is the foundation of our faith. If you recall in Revelation, Jesus calls himself the amen, the faithful and true witness. Amen says that God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Amen. We pledge our obedience to it. When we hear a promise of God's word and we say amen, we are laying claim to that promise. It is ours. We are going to live as if it were already real. That's why we're saying amen. If it is the promise of God, it shall be done. So that's why I'm always say, or somebody need to say amen. Amen, in other words, is a statement of faith and hope. Amen is a statement of confidence in God. When we hear the truth of God's word declare and we agree with it, when we pray, we can conclude with a firm amen, because we are confident our prayer has been heard. Our God is at work, and the best response to our petition is already in the making. So that's why we need to say amen. For when we say amen, we are saying, Lord, we agree with you. We agree with your will and your ways. Lord, we agree that you are God, and besides thee, there is no other. And that's why we say amen. We agree with your statutes and your precept, for the Bible says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. We agree that you formed and you fashioned and you created everything that was created. For the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We agree that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. We agree with the judge Samuel that God still calls our name. Can you hear him, Samuel? Speak, Lord, thou hearest. Say amen. We agree with King David that the Lord will fight your battle. I agree with King Jehoshaphat that the Lord is with us. We agree with the prophet Elijah that there is more with us than it is with them. We agree with Peter, amen, that Christ, the Son of the living God, that is Jesus Christ. We agree with John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We agree with Paul that God shall supply all of our needs according to to his riches and glory. That's why we say amen, because we believe the word of God and we believe the report of the Lord. That's why we say amen. We can say amen because when we hear the word of God, we know that we have been healed and we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's why we say amen. We are just confirming what God has said. In other words, we are putting a seal of approval on what God has said. We are letting the world know that we are agreeing. We stand in agreement with the Lord when we say amen. We don't just say amen, just something to say out of tradition in the church. We're saying amen because the spirit that's inside of us is hearing the master's word, and it's triggering us to say amen. See, what we have to understand is that what is inside of you is connected to what you're hearing. And so if what I'm hearing is agreeing to what God's word, then what's inside of me automatically is going to say amen. See, if I was in the secular world and if I had a secular thought process and if I was thinking worldly, whatever I hear worldly, I would agree to that. Because that's what's attached to me on the inside. But see, I'm not agreeing with that mess. That's why what's on the inside of me is saying amen when I hear the word of God. That's why I'm trying to tell you that America only honors two commandments. Only two commandments. The rest, they don't honor. They want to have, you can do all the rest of them. You can do all the rest of them, but just don't murder and just don't steal. All right. But the rest of it, have at it. All right. God said it's all wrong. All right. So I have to agree with what the Lord says. Yeah. That's why I say amen. Yeah. Because I agree with what I'm hearing, what the Lord is saying. Right. Amen. And man, at this time, we're opening up the doors of the church. We're extending an invitation. We're extending an invitation to Christ at this time. The doors of the church is now open. We extend an invitation to Christ. Amen. Service is not over yet. We have baptism. Service is not over yet. We have baptism that we are going to go to.
immediately following. Amen. Amen. I thank God for the musicians. Amen. These are seasoned musicians and that probably know a whole lot of songs. I forgot all about that song. Amen. But it seems like they have a song for every message that I preach. Amen. Let us make our way to the back. I will ask first the parents. The parents come first so they can be seated. Amen. Crystal, come. Anyone that is being baptized, please. Parents, please come. I just want to make sure that the parents are able to be seated and the family. Amen. For everyone else that want to witness the baptism, you may exit towards the back. Amen. Mother Gloria, you come into the... Amen. Amen. Make sure we have a seat for Mother Gloria in the back. Make sure we have a seat for our mother.